WBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the sweatshop of free speech because we just keep recording and recording and recording, and we've got these, do we have these Jewish overlords who are oppressing us? Just like the sweatshops on, what was it, the East Side in New York City? Were they on the East Side, the Lower East Side, something like that? And so free our people. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed fundage to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719. Make those checks and money orders out to RBN. Operators are standing by. So it's Paul Stevenson. Paul, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Patrick.
Does Donald Trump think he's the king of the world?
I think he does. Maybe king of the universe. We just didn't discover the universe yet, but I'm sure when we discover the full scale of the universe, Donald Trump will be king of that too.
Okay.
He's going to dethrone Jesus Christ for all the Christians out there.
I don't mind Melania being the empress. She's pretty innocuous and hot. But Donald, I don't know. He's not going in a good direction. He doesn't have a Jesus complex, does he?
I think he has more of a Conor McGregor complex. You know, the way he talks, it's like, you know, at least you could excuse Conor a little bit. I mean, Conor had a lot of success as a very young man, so he thought, you know, probably likes a little line of the white powder from time to time, but maybe he'll grow up one day. But Donald, don't think he has a cocaine problem or is in his early 30s like Conor, but he talks like Conor. You know, I heard him talking about Hamas. Mm-hmm. You know, they got 38 days or whatever it is to he takes office. And they better release those hostages. They got 38 days or there'll be hell to pay. You know, they were going to hit them like nothing they've ever seen before. It's just like, you know, you mean you're going to bomb the hell out of us, Donald? Oh, what are we going to do? I mean, we've never dealt with that before, you know?
It's trash talking. It's, you know, you mentioned Conor McGregor. This is what they do in the UFC. They do trash talking. And it is trash talking. And it's coming from Trump himself. This is, you know, it was already coming from Sebastian Gorka and what, Pete Sethag, is that his name, and other people. I mean, Gorka is the most absurd of them, but it's pretty bad. But then for Trump to come out and say, and if you actually dissect his words, there's going to be hell to pay, like nobody's ever had to pay in the storied history of the United States. Well, the storied history of the United States involves nuking Hiroshima and Nagasaki. So is that what he's threatening? He's threatening to nuke Gaza. I have news for you. Gaza's already been destroyed. There's really nothing left to nuke. But go ahead. Maybe the clouds will float over Israel. Yeah.
I mean, it's like it's like finding a corpse and saying, you know, if you don't get up, I'm going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm already dead. There's not really much you can threaten me by. You might have to be a little bit more creative than that for me to be too motivated. Anyway, it's kind of, and you mentioned Gorka and these guys. I mean, these guys, I don't know. I mean, it's particularly irritating when you look at these guys with their big talk. You know, these guys have never thrown a punch in their life, never taken a punch in their life, probably never played any serious sports which demand that you're have some sort of manliness about you, you know, and they're throwing their weight around. I mean, this guy Gorka, he's born in the UK. He's Hungarian. It wouldn't surprise me if there's Jew in him somewhere. And then he's over there in America with this kind of phony British accent or whatever. I mean, he's just an obnoxious, obnoxious moron. Well, it's a kind of a, I don't know, it's like, it's almost like a parody of an English accent. Mercurius is a little bit like that too. I mean, Mercurius comes from good stock, I think, and where he's from. So he's probably to some extent plugged into the upper middle classes in this country. And he's well spoken and educated to an extent, but he has a strange way of pronouncing words. Someone might want to teach him, for example, that it's not hegemony, for all his education. It's hegemony, not hegemony. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm a little bit of a stickler for things like that when it comes to the English language.
Maybe he's trying to be Greek. Maybe he's trying to pronounce it in the Greek way.
But his accent's a little bit somewhat of a parody as well. Almost, is that the right word, parody? It's like, it's like someone, is it the right word, Patrick? Is it the word I'm looking for? It's like someone sort of attempting to do what they think is the most English accent, but they've never actually lived here or understand how people really speak. Anyway, that guy Gorka's a bit like that, so it's kind of, it's too much. But anyway, yeah, so Trump's going to, you know, have hell to pay for Hamas. Yeah, what are you going to do, Donald? They're all underground. What are you going to do that Israel couldn't do? And no doubt you killed some of them, because some of them are probably mingling among those civilians, where you're dropping these huge ordinances from the safety of the clouds. They're all big, tough guys, aren't they? But largely Hamas has still survived, and they're buried deep under the ground in those tunnel networks. Same with Hezbollah, and they've got the land that they've got around them to protect them too. And like we joked about last week, I mean, this ceasefire didn't last 5 minutes. I mean, Israel's been bombing the hell out of Lebanon, you know?
Yeah, they have been bombing the hell out of Lebanon. I don't think it comes to a surprise, to anybody's surprise.
No, what's the point of it?
Well, the point of it was there's some political stuff with Joe Biden trying to show that he's still in charge. Look, I got a ceasefire. Like, at this point, how much does it matter? I don't know.
Nah, it doesn't matter, really, I don't think, because all the Israelis are doing, I think, is giving themselves a break, and now they've moved into this serious situation, and they're trying to cut off, they're always trying to remove Assad, so that, you know, but they're also trying to stop the flow of weapons coming through Syria to Hezbollah. Hezbollah are now refocusing their events, their energies, apparently, into defending what has to be said is an absolute pathetic joke of a Syrian regime. I don't know, what do these guys do? They must just sit back and say, well, we don't need to worry. We'll just put our feet up and let Putin look after us. I mean, these guys, you know, full on did a France in World War II, you know? I mean, this new group come in and took over Aleppo in about 35 minutes. That's what are these people doing, you know? I mean, Putin must be thinking, what the hell? So then the Russians have to get involved and the Iranians have to get involved, but they are thoroughly useless, these people, it would seem, the Syrian army, to be caught napping to that extent. And then they say, oh, and then they just flee. And we can discuss all that. I mean, it's a dog's dinner over there, but it's the usual suspects, really, sort of. And then Turkey's interests are all in there as well. The whole thing's a mess.
Well, I mean, I haven't had to fight off CIA-backed insurgents for a dozen years, so I don't know, but it was some pretty surprising news to all of a sudden hear that Syria's second largest city, Aleppo, just got overrun in about a day or two. I mean, all of a sudden,
some people say less than that. Some people say it was a matter of hours. That literally the Syrian army, just once they realized what was coming, they just ran away. They didn't even bother fighting. They just fled.
I don't know I don't know these things. 12 years ago, there was a lot of fighting in Aleppo. They didn't turn and run away. It may have been that they weren't in a position to fight, and so they They ran away very fast, Monty Python style, but preserved themselves. Do you remember that? Run away very fast. I think that was from, was that from the Holy Grail, Monty Python, the Holy Grail. I think that's what it was from. So. Run away very fast. But you know, they preserved themselves, and are they now taking back Iranian helpers? Are they taking back the city now? I don't know.
But well, it's a very fluid situation over there. I mean, Russia's been bombing. The Iranians have been talking about sending in forces in there. The Iraqis have been talking about sending in forces over there.
Iraqis are there. I think Iraqis are there.
So, you know, and I'll just quote you the Turkey foreign minister, you know, because it might help, because, you know, I have to admit, I'm a little bit ignorant myself of Turkey and Turkey's interests. I mean, largely, you know, my focus always tends to be, particularly in Syria, it's always, you know, the Mossad and the CIA backing terrorists or, you know, these proxy groups to overthrow Assad for Israel's interests as usual. But then, you know, Turkey's involved in all this as well. And then you've got, you know, the implications of the ceasefire and the sort of the different strategies which are going on, both with Hezbollah and the Axis of Resistance and then Israel. I mean, like I said, it does get a bit complicated, but, you know, for my understanding of it, I was thinking today that in one sense, I don't really care what happens in Syria, you know, because all the next thing that will happen is we'll just have a flood of Syrian migrants coming up through into Europe, and, you know, like we need any more of them. Anyway, Turkey foreign minister, and it doesn't mean I don't feel for those people out there, but I'm sick and tired of them being our problem. And they come into this country, whether it's from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, wherever else, and they run amok, they rape our women. They, you know, they parasite off the system in most ways. They get all sorts of handouts, and they basically just dilute our population, as you know. But that's another story. Anyway, Turkey Foreign Minister Hakan Fidan said, "It would be a mistake at this time to try to explain the events in Syria by any foreign interference." He said, "This is a mistake that those who do not want to understand Syria's realities take refuge in." Now, you can comment on this as you go along. This is coming from them, because Turkey's obviously got their own angles on things. You know, "This is a mistake that those who do not want to understand Syria's realities take refuge in."
Well, like I say, if there are two sides to an issue, Turkey will take all three. Or Erdogan will. This is Erdogan. He's always on. He's on every side of every issue.
Yeah, he is.
The Turkish population themselves, they want even less to do with Syrian refugees than you. They're a lot closer.
No, I know.
Got a lot more. So, you know, Turkey, Erdogan and Assad, they've got a feud going on. There's a lot of aspects to this. Erdogan, like, his population is infuriated by what's going on in Gaza. Of course, Erdogan himself has frequently cooperated with Israel, even while he badmouths them.
And this, I think, is another example of it. You know, this is them colluding, probably. You know, I don't know. You know, there's what their schemings are. They're certainly not made public, but no doubt clandestinely they're involved as well, scratching each other's backs here. Yeah, Erdogan seems to think he's a smart guy. I think it's about time someone put him in his place, as he's just a little unscrupulous little scumbag.
So, and you know, Turkey's got an application to join the EU. It is a member of NATO and has been since the 1950s. On the other hand, it's been... Have they put in an application also to join BRICS?
They just want to join everything, and we don't want them part of the EU either, to have half of Turkey flooding into Europe. Thank you very much.
Turkey is a very large country. It has a larger population than any country in the EU. And
it's not in the EU yet.
It's not. But, you know,
thank God.
the country in the EU with the largest population is Germany. What are they, like 78 million, maybe something around there. And Turkey is over 90 million. So it would be a big disruption. And its economy is not as affluent. And so you would have, you would have Turkish immigrate. I mean, there was always a lot of Turkish immigration guest workers into Germany, but EU membership would make it all the easier for the Turks to flood into various Western countries. That'd be a disaster. Yeah. And they know, I mean, they've had their application for 25 years? When did they apply for membership? They're never going to get it. They know they're never going to get it. And so, you know, they're on all these different sides of the issues. The last thing we need is destabilization of Syria with all of this stuff going on. In the past, Russia under Putin came to the rescue for Syria. And Syria does have a long-standing relationship with Russia going back to the Soviet days. And, of course, they have a very, very close relationship with Iran. Are we in World War III yet?
Well, not officially, but I think we're probably one little event off it, where it's officially announced. I don't know. Anyway, just for more commentary on this, because I'm still just learning this as I go myself, particularly with Turkey angle. Turkey, I mean, I know I know there's, you know, enmity between Erdogan and Assad, and it's a bit of a chicken and egg thing, I think, really, because, you know, Erdogan wants his will imposed there and for, you know, some sort of official meet and acceptance or whatever he wants. And Assad's got, you know, some historical anger against Erdogan for one thing and another, and neither of them seem to be budging. But Turkey president has warned that regime of Bashar al-Assad in Syria amid war. But the audacity of Erdogan is staggering. You know, this is obviously going to, he's obviously going to feel some consequences from Putin for this, notwithstanding, of course, there are economic ties and trade ties between Russia and Turkey, which I suppose provides some fuel for the temerity of Erdogan, I guess. But I think he might be, you know, getting above his station a little bit. Anyway, Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Ankara is committed to territorial integrity of Syria. So, do you know exactly what is Erdogan's beef with Syria? I mean, you've got this Kurdish problem, I think, is a big part of it. He said Turkey wants conflict to be resolved as per legitimate wishes of Syrians. So, you know, again, I'm by far no expert on the situation and relations between these two nations. On the Syrian conflict, this is Erdogan speaking, our country's stance, sensitivities, priorities, and parameters of the policy we defend are clear. I'm just reading this off the screen so it'll come up. Our greatest wish is for Syria's territorial integrity and national unity to be preserved and for the instability that has been going on for 13 years to end with consensus in line with the legitimate demands of the Syrian people. Well, what's that got to do with Erdogan, though? What's, you know, I mean, that this seems, meanwhile, he seems to be in the process of contributing to the destabilization of. Meanwhile, Turkey's foreign minister said the eruption of the civil war shows Syrian president must reconcile with his people and hold dialogue with them. Right now.
Yeah. Well, hello, folks. This is Mike Gatti, the Rebel Madman at Republic Broadcasting Network. If you are searching for your inner rebel, it can be found at the Dixie Republic. It's the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to thedixierepublic.com to view all of their Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through their extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in their Johnny Reb gun and leather shop. Now remember, DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. But I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
While Turkey's foreign minister said eruption of civil war shows the eruption of the civil war shows Syrian president must reconcile with his people and hold dialogue with opposition. Well, what's Turkey's interest in that? Well, you know, what have they got to benefit from essentially Assad entertaining the opposition? The latest developments show once again that Damascus should reconcile with its own people and the legitimate opposition. Turkey is ready to provide all contributions in this sense. We will pursue our coordination with Iran, with whom we conducted important works in the frame of we have always supported the protection of the territorial integrity and unity of Syria, and we will keep supporting it. So they seem to have a motivation in this opposition group. Turkey will never give way to terrorist organizations which try to benefit from the unstable environment, but yet it seems, Alistair Crook and others who are more authorities in that region have suggested that, you know, Turkey are basically involved in supporting this group, which are largely considered to be terrorists, the Shia extremist group, an offshoot of Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra. By any definition, they would be considered sort of extremist Islamic terrorists. He goes on as the foreign minister, "We will eliminate all threats to our national security and people on the spot." "We don't want people to be displaced again. On the contrary, we want displaced people to return to their homes." Shame you couldn't say that in this country without getting arrested.
Mm-hmm. Well, so you have in that part of the globe, you've got national boundaries that don't always mesh up really well with the people that are living in these areas. And this, you know, the Middle East, this, when you're talking about Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Lebanon, Israel, Palestine, Jordan, these were all part of the Ottoman Empire 106 years ago. It's all part of the Ottoman Empire. Empire broke up, and you wound up with a Turkish state being created in the homeland of the Turks. So basically all the the real Turks are there, but there's also the land that became Turkey once upon a time included a lot of Armenians. I guess it doesn't now. There's a story there. There are a lot of Kurds. The Kurds are referred to as mountain Turks, but Kurds are actually kind of Persian hillbillies. They don't speak a Turkic language. It's kind of and they are people who, I guess, have a history as nomadic herders, which is why maybe they're often referred to, the Kurds are often referred to as the world's largest ethnic group that doesn't have a state. I don't know if they're really the world's largest that doesn't have a state, but they are spread out over Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran, and I guess parts of Azerbaijan, maybe even parts of Armenia. So they're spread out, but a big hunk of them are in Turkey, and there are a couple of, I think there's two different communist guerrilla groups, Kurdish guerrilla groups that operate in the in Turkey or around Turkey. One is it called the PKK, the Party of Kurdish Communists or something like that. And so they often operate in Turkey from bases within Syria, or perhaps once upon a time Iraq, because there were borders there. And so I think a big part of the beef between Turkey and Syria, between Erdogan and Assad, has to do with the activities of this this PKK Kurdish group, which, as far as Turkey's concerned, is a terrorist organization. So Turkey came in during the Syrian civil war and occupied, or had its proxy groups occupy, a big hunk of northern Syria, largely in order to keep this PKK Kurdish group out, to deprive them of a base for their operations. And even after the Syrian civil war was so-called ended, there are parts of northern Syria that the Syrian government never got back. Part of it is occupied by the United States.
We were at a party. The dear low fell in the day. Someone reached in and grabbed it. What a rock, lobster.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Have you ever planted a tree for your home garden, orchard, or farm? Well, you'll know how frustrating it is when deer don't stop nibbling at them and you lose years of growth. We have a very economic solution called Tree Savers. It's basically a greenhouse tube at a very economical price. Most of the tubes are $3 to $4, depending on the length that you want. Very easy installation. Check us out at furion.com. Furious Growth, that's furion.com. Susanna's Secret Real Essential Oils of Nature would like to thank you and RBN listeners for your previous purchases. We're announcing that we have a new waterless diffuser in stock with a full 1-year warranty. You just insert the bottle to the top, screw it in, tip it upside down, set your timer, or it's also motion activated at furion.com. That's furion.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
To Ellie, but she never got by. She never got by. She never got by. They say, yeah. She went away for the holiday. Says she's going to Ellie, but she never got by. She never got by. She never got by. They say, yeah. The KKK took my baby away.
So-called ended. There are parts of northern Syria that the Syrian government never got back. Part of it is occupied by the United States, and they're there taking the oil, which was Donald Trump's thing in his first term. He wanted to withdraw from Syria, but the general said, "But sir, you want to take the oil? Okay, let's take the oil." So they're taking the oil and sending it to Israel. There's also a pipeline. In the former Soviet Union, there was a republic called Azerbaijan. So there's a former Soviet republic of Azerbaijan. The Azeris, who inhabit Azerbaijan, the Azeris are basically Turks who speak kind of a dialect. But it's close enough to regular Turkish that I believe they can understand each other, the Azeris. There are a lot of Turkic languages in Central Asia, like Uzbeki, that are related to Turkish, but they're not mutually intelligible. But I believe Azeri is mutually intelligible. And so you have Azerbaijan, the former Soviet Republic, but you've also got a whole bunch of Azeris in northern Iran. Iran has a very large Azeri population. And earlier, like 5 or 6 months ago, people might recall that the president and foreign minister of Iran, they died in a helicopter crash. Well, that helicopter had taken off from Azerbaijan. They had been on a visit to Azerbaijan. And so Iran and Azerbaijan have this difficult relationship, partly because the biggest minority group in Iran are Azeris, who are related to Turks. And, you know, there have been at times talk of, well, before World War II, the Soviets were wanting to cut off part of Iran and incorporate it into Azerbaijan. So you have this tension, you know, you've got people related to the Turks, the Azeris, living in Iran. You've got people related to Persians, they're called mountain Persians or Persian hillbillies, living in Turkey. So and both groups are spilling into Iraq and into Syria, which are Arab countries. They're not Persian and they're not Turkish. So you got this big ethnic mix-up component that's going on as well. And the last thing I want to note is Azerbaijan is a big oil and gas producing area. It has been for a long time. The German army in World War II, why did they want to occupy Baku? Because they wanted the oil fields. That's Azerbaijan. And this gas from Azerbaijan is flowing through pipelines in Turkey and going to Israel. How about that?
Yeah, and of course, that we mentioned, you know, Mossad, CIA, historically, and no doubt are involved with this as well, are backing this group as a proxy to overthrow Assad. And they don't get called terrorists then. They get called rebels, which is a kind of a more romantic term, you know, particularly when you've painted Assad as you know, another dictator, another evil mass murdering dictator. So it's the usual hypocrisy and double standard from the West and Israel, who, you know, they're constant and their apologists are always saying, well, we can't possibly support those terrorists, those Hamas and Hezbollah. Israel's a right to defend itself. But we know that they've been backing and arming and funding these groups and supporting them. And, you know, there was a famous time where there was a hospital up near the Golan Heights where Netanyahu was in, you know, shaking hands with some of these rebels and patching them up and treating them well and everything else. But anyway, Turkey has been seeking to normalize ties with Syria to address security threats. This is Erdogan. So this is Times of India summarizing. From groups affiliated with Kurdish militants along its southern border. So there's a Kurdish connection there. Turkey also wants to ensure safe return of over 3 million Syrian refugees. I wouldn't mind returning 3 million Syrian refugees. I don't know if we have 3 million, but we've probably got a million, haven't we?
I would say
easily.
A lot of the sub-Saharan Africans and subcontinentals entered Europe as refugees from the brutal Syrian civil war.
Yeah, of course. Assad has insisted that Turkey's withdrawal of its forces from northern Syria be a condition for any normalization between the two countries. So here you have this chicken and egg thing going on, where they have, you know, each one has their own conditions for getting together and resolving this situation. But this is bound to be, no doubt, be irksome for the Russians. Some are arguing this is opportunistic when Russia is preoccupied with the Ukraine situation. But, you know, I think it's worth noting, though, that when Russia was involved in this conflict before, they had a much smaller military. Because of the Ukraine conflict, they've got a much larger military and much, you know, they've turned on the, you know, the weapons spigot, you know, 24 hours. And I think they've done the majority of the heavy lifting in that conflict in eastern Ukraine anyway, by, you know, liberating and opening up logistic avenues there with, you know, when they took control and won those you know, territories in Bakhmut and Avdiivka and Ugledar. And I think they're more on a sort of a cleanup mission now. I mean, I obviously there's still a lot of fighting going on, but they've been moving forward much more quickly. You know, once they freed up those channels, it really sort of freed them up to move forward much more quickly. And I think I think Russia are still very capable of, you know, being involved in this in some way. I think it's sort of the increase in their military, you know, compared to what it was back then, sort of maybe cancel out the fact they're preoccupied, and then Iran are getting involved in this as well, and Iraq, as I say. But I don't know. It's just, like I say, the whole thing's just a dog's dinner. And then, as usual, you've got, like I said, you've got Israel's interests, which Israel may as well just be, for all intents and purposes, a 51st state of the U.S., because really you look at the United States, a country that size with that amount of resources, I mean, what the hell have you got interest do you have in this mess in the Middle East with a bunch of ethnic squabbles between Arabs and Persians, you know? of course, Europe's the same because essentially of... you know, the Israeli Jewish influence in the West. So we always have to get involved in these squabbles. And then we have to suffer the, you know, the immigration as a result of the displacement of these people, you know. So, otherwise, quite frankly, I don't really care. Honestly, I don't. It's just like, I don't want anyone in the world to suffer, but I'm sick and tired of these things affecting us because of some little rogue Jewish state in the Middle East, you know.
So, last week... I think it was last week, I heard Judge Andy say to a couple of his guests,
I sent you that clip, didn't I?
Well, which clip?
Well, he asked John Mersheimer something very direct. I forget how he phrased it, but he asked John Mersheimer, huh?
Was it where he said that 60% of the Trump leadership team is Jewish?
Yes. Okay. And Mersheimer immediately responded with replacing Jewish and avoided the question with Hawks. He asked the same question. He asked the same question to Phil Giraldi, and without pause and without any notion of self-censorship, Phil Giraldi immediately said, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not quite sure where he gets that from. Now, Biden, you know, if you talked about the most important positions in the cabinet, so not the Secretary of Transportation, a gay guy can get that, or a Chinese lady can get Secretary of Labor, whatever. They don't care about that. Secretary of Education, give that to the Mexican guy. But, you know, State and Treasury and Attorney General and Homeland Security, they were all given to Jews, all this portfolio.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I mean, you could say something like 6 out of the 7 top members of the Biden cabinet were Jews. You could say something like that. But with Trump, in terms of the cabinet, I know his this Howard Lustig, I think is his name, who was he was the chairman of the Trump transition team. He's appointed himself Secretary of Commerce. Commerce, maybe if you're a Jewish businessman, that's might be a plum position. But in general, it's not thought of as very powerful. I couldn't. Who's the Secretary of Commerce now? Is it that lady from Rhode Island, an Italian lady from Rhode Island? It might be. It's not an important position. Nobody knows who it is. But I'm bringing this up because I don't know where he got that figure from. Who he means are these 60%? Because
yeah, I'm not sure either.
I don't know where he gets that from. But what you do have is where Biden had these Jews in the high profile positions. Trump has like whores for the Jews. Whores for the Jews, right? There was a French demonstration once. I guess it was the Yellow Vesters, and for a while there were people carrying signs that said something like Macron. Oh, well, how do you say whore for the Jews? Pour de Juif or something like that. I think pour, something like that is whore, and it was
pour de Juif.
Jews, whores for the Jews. And that's what he got. And the thing is, Blinken, when he went to Israel after October 7th, says, I come to you as a Jew. But usually he's not wearing his yarmulke on his sleeve, right? And Merrick Garland and Alejandro Mayorkas, in their confirmation, they reference their Jewish immigrant roots. But they don't.
Well, ironically, they
don't wear it on their sleeve. But now you've got these people coming in for Trump. Whether it's Mike Huckabee or Sebastian Gorka, and they are just going like full scale Jew worship and Jew, you know, Jew victim card playing, just over the top, like no Jew ever does. Yeah. I mean, if a Jew did it, it would might be giving away the game plan too much. So they
yeah, yeah.
I mean, I've never heard, as obvious as it is, I've never heard Janet Yellen reference herself as a Jew, even though I'm sure she was the voice for Kyle's mom on South Park. She had to have been.
Yeah, well, these other guys, I think some of them are genuine Christian Zionists. And, you know, I remember going to church one day, and I told you this is how much the Jew loving is in the church today. And I've always told you my disgust because it's such an aberration, and I wish I was born at a different time. One guy said, "Oh, we should thank the Jews for giving us the scriptures." Well, if you're a Christian, you don't believe that the Jews give you the scriptures. You believe God himself gave you the scriptures. Now, you don't believe God sort of like took the prophets and, you know, sort of possessed them. And, you know, they were doing, you know, what do you call that? Like that occult practice where they're in a trance. But we believe that God picked godly men, you know, many of them flawed, but choose them for his purposes and inspired them to write down the scriptures. At no point does a Christian ever attribute the scriptures being written by man's hand alone, let alone Jews. When the whole New Testament and the whole Old Testament's an indictment against these people, and then they ended up killing Jesus Christ. I mean, this is like, you know, I just decided not to go to that church anymore. I ended up falling out with quite a few of them, and I thought, what's the point? I mean, these guys are so ignorant, it's so the brainwashed, and they're so far off everything, it's just pointless. They do you more harm than good. But I digress now. But yeah, I think some of these guys are committed Christian Zionists. They believe all this. You know, this guy, what's his name? Hegseth or whatever his name is. You know, he's all up for, you know, building the third temple and all that. I mean, it's just like, don't get me started. I was listening to, is Charles Freeman a Jew? He is, yeah?
No. No, he's not.
Oh, he's not. Oh, okay. I was listening.
It's not Friedman, but if it's Freeman. I don't think he has any Jewish background.
Yeah, I was listening to him earlier, and you know, he basically said, you know, because Napolitano was asking him, you know, what interest does America have in the Middle East? And he just basically said, well, you know, when you consider that essentially, you know, and he was alluding to the lobby and the power of, you know, they have, that America, for all intents and purposes, you know, sorry, Israel is the 51st state of America. So Israel's interest in that region for expansion and, in quotes, security, are America's interest, you know, which is the truth. He's a very cuddly little man. He looks like a little short little man. He looks like a little cuddly little bear. I mean, he's not Kim Jong-un, but he's a sweet little cuddly bear
he's
of a man.
Adorable. Not adorable.
He's like, they should make a little model of him. You give him to your kids, you know, a little Charles Freeman bear, and you could like put a if you push a button, it's like got educational purposes as well. He'll sort of be very informative. He'll tell you all about geopolitics. He's a cuddly little bear of a man, I think.
You know, 52 years ago in 1972, when Nixon went to China, Charles Freeman was Nixon's translator.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I did not, but I quite like listening to him. You know, I think he's one of the better ones on there.
I don't know if he stands with the Chinks, but he can talk to the Chinks in their language.
Oh, even more educational. If you have a little button, you can have it in Chinese. You get your kids a little cuddly Charles Freeman bear. They can learn geopolitics and Chinese.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea.
And then he was ambassador to Saudi Arabia at point. Was that during the Reagan administration? He was also an assistant secretary of defense. Now, that's not the number two person. I don't know what he was like, assistant secretary of defense for such and such.
Well,
relatively high position. I think he was appointed at some point by which president? I couldn't tell you. It might have been by Obama.
Reagan. Okay.
Might have been by Obama, but to a pretty high profile position. Was it the number two at the Pentagon? He was appointed. And I don't think he got Senate confirmation. I think he was scuttled because the Israel lobby opposed him.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, it's a real shame. Like I said, when you look at Europe and the United States, which
in many ways, you know, have got various, in Europe, good strong Christians, you know, history, and America too. To be over there doing the bidding of a bunch of Jews and getting involved in these squabbles with Muslims and Jews, I mean, it breaks my heart. And, you know, so much of our discourse.
J'ai sur mon lit à bouffer sa langue en buvant en mon whisky. Quant à moi, peu dormi, vie débris, mais j'ai dû dormir dans la gouttière où j'ai eu un flash. En quatre couleurs. Allez hop, un matin, une louloute est venue chez moi, poupée de cellophane, cheveux chinois, un sparadrap, une gueule de bois. A bu ma bière dans un grand verre en caoutchouc.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Get More Tank will save you money every month on gas. I'm Dave Von Kleist, and I noticed increased performance after my first tank of gas. My mileage increased by 2.5 miles per gallon, and I'm saving money on every fill-up. Get More Tank is American-made, is used by trucking companies and heavy industry, and is now available to the public. Get More Tank works in any gas or diesel engine, cleans your engine, improves performance, reduces emissions, and you'll feel it every time you step on the gas. If you're an owner-operator, farmer, heavy equipment operator, or use any kind of engine from chainsaws, leaf blowers, lawnmowers, ATVs, you name it. Contractors, electricians, plumbers, painters, lawn service companies, Get More Tank will save you money and extend the life of your equipment. Hey, if you've got an engine, then Get More Tank. Save your money, save your engine. Reduce your emissions and save the earth with GetMoreTank.com. A 5-pack of GetMoreTank.com is only $22.22 plus shipping. Use the promo code Republic Broadcasting and get 10% off. Get More Tank is EPA registered, doesn't void warranties, and results vary. GetMoreTank.com.
Hey there, this is Sheila with Hempaste by MyNutra. Why is Hempaste better than other CBD options on the market? It's important to point out that the common CBD oil does not contain CBDA or CBGA, and they're only found in fresh or raw hemp products, like Hempaste. Hempaste contains the entire plant, minus any stems. This means the product retains the complete genetic code of the plant, which also includes those two vital cannabinoids, CBGA and CBDA. Over and over, experts keep saying the more intact or less processed the hemp plant is, the more effective it is. Happy Hemp Paste.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org. And visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Call 855-656-8872. Mention RBN.
To be over there doing the bidding of a bunch of Jews and getting involved in these squabbles with Muslims and Jews, I mean, it breaks my heart. And, you know, so much of our discourse politically and culturally in our countries as well are dominated by Jewish and Muslim interests. And, of course, the demographics, you know, are off the charts with Muslims as well. I mean, I'm not a Zionist who hates all Muslims, but I don't want our country and Europe flooded with Muslims. Thank you very much. I mean, I was listening to Larry Johnson earlier. You know, Larry's a bit of a white Western hater. You know, he takes it a bit far. He was talking earlier about, you know, how he's always talking about imperialism and, you know, how the British and the Americans are out there doing their imperialism again. They look down their nose at those Turks. You know, they think those Turks are less intelligent and they're more sweaty and they're better than us. And you think, well, I know what you mean. The West does go around patronizing people, and I don't think we should do. But I think stats do show that Arabs and those people in the Middle East generally have a lower IQ than white Europeans. And they are, if you want to use the word sweaty, they are sleazy. When they come here, a lot of them, they are very, very aggressive sexually. They're very aggressive generally. They make up disproportionate amounts of rape cases and theft and violent behavior and sort of behavior which is so foreign to your average sort of European generally. So, no, Larry, they're not exactly the same as us. I don't believe we should be over there poking our nose in and getting involved and sending our soldiers and our money and, you know, basically throwing our weight around for Jewish interests. But, you know, Larry seems to think that, you know, it's all just white imperialism all the time. There's a couple of guys on there where they're
I just want to point out, if you look at Larry Johnson, it looks like he has his hair slicked back. I'm sure it's pulled back into a ponytail.
That other guy, Escobar, as well. You know, some of these guys, you can really tell that, you know, they hate the West. And I understand, you know, because, you know, I think, you know, we're pretty balanced. We're from the West. But, you know, we're quite outspoken against this. We're pro-Putin in many ways. And, you know, we're on his side and all of this. But you can just tell some of these guys, they just hate the West, you know, in every way. And you can tell they hate white people because they're like they're waiting for this uprising of their peoples to dominate the Europeans and the white people. That's kind of what's, you know, it's going on with some of these guys. Johnson's just, I don't know. You get these guys, I think they take it too far, you know.
Yeah. They'll invoke the Holocaust and they'll invoke segregation in American Jews.
And colonizing Africa, because all the Africans are always just poor victims. You know, I mean, they're just wonderful people. But go and tell that to the 20 rapes a day in Italy by Northern Africans. You know, it's like the Africans actually benefited from colonization. And when they were, in quotes, liberated, they went back to, they regressed about 1,000 years from the rest of the world. So, you know, it's always a bit simplistic with these guys, notwithstanding I'm not one for expanding empires and going colonizing people, but I don't want them colonizing us demographically, which is actually what's happening. And you can see some of these guys, they love that. They're like, well, you had it coming. Yeah, we all had it coming because we're all part of the British Empire, weren't we? Yeah, I mean, I'm Irish. Was I part of the British Empire? Was, you know, have you ever read Charles Dickens and look at the poverty of the working classes in this country? They were too busy trying to eat. Yeah. Without worrying, they had no idea what the British Empire were doing half the time. They read about it, their children read about it 50 years later in history books. But these people just seem to think that, you know, everybody sort of west of, you know, of the Middle East are just basically just white devils, you know.
Well, with that, we've kind of run out of time, but I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much, Patrick.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.